world is room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. It's Friday the 17th, 2015. I should say April, that is. Well, fun times we had at the conference. One of the guys that was actually sponsoring the conference, I invited him on the show today because seems like he's doing good things for people. Told me his story and how he continued his father's business, so we're going to have Michael in a minute. But I wanted to start off just by prefacing, today, why I'm so interested in this fella, because I went through one of the most outrageous identity theft scams that anybody could ever experience. I was, when I was in Hollywood and I was making a lot of money and doing all that, I had the most outstanding little perfect credit score because I was the good little citizen that I'm supposed to be. And, I went through a massive, massive, massive theft of my identity. It turned out I was living in a guest house behind another house, and it turned out that the guy in the house was intercepting my mail, and that's how it all started. And, he was part of a larger racket. But what I figured out, homes bought and sold, cars bought and sold in my name, at least 20 loans, what are they called, paycheck loans, and also credit cards are suddenly showing up, and just the most crazy, horrific time of my life. I decided that there was no getting to these people. The credit agencies would not lift a finger to help. The police, though they filed a report, were not interested in doing anything about it, even though I knew it was the person that lived in this house that was doing it for me, because they were interested in going bigger, getting bigger fish. The banks weren't interested in helping. In fact, if I figured out that the banks were probably in on it, because every time I would get my $2,000 or so would be put into my bank account again, it would be taken before I could even charge anything or take it out of the bank, the money would be gone. And I was like, there's no way that anybody can know that unless they're inside the bank. Happened about 8 different times before they gave me a new account number and rearranged everything. After a while, I figured out that this is a major, 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 major business out there, and that, in my personal opinion, it's very lucrative business for government. I'm just going to put it out there. That's my opinion after going through it. And especially after trying to actually get to these credit agencies and say, hey, this is a mistake. Oh, that, we don't care. You see, it's better for business if you have a lower credit score. That is, if you can. I could give a crap about my credit score anymore. But for those of you that still do and want to jump through the hoops and play the games and be a good little, creditor or debtor, excuse me, and have your good little score, which I think is absolutely demeaning and horrible, I've brought someone on today that actually has made it a business for himself and following in his father's footsteps to actually help people correct the record. And that's really what it's all about, is correcting the record, isn't it? We've talked about this over and over. Every record that we have is basically corrupted from our birth all the way through to everything else. And it's really about correcting the record. So, pardon me. My guest today is Michael. He's from he's from South Shore Credit Management, which is a little company out of you out of New York, Michael?
Yeah, it's out of Long Island in New York.
Long Island. Yeah, you can tell by the accent.
South Shore of Long Island. That's where it came from.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so Michael was hanging out at the conference. And we got to talking, and he was just one of those people that you meet and you think, wow, what a wonderful little thing he's got going. And so I invited him on the show just in case anybody out there needs these type of things. So let's talk about this, Michael. I mean, first of all, this whole credit score thing, as ridiculous as it is to me, it's a very important part of the quote-unquote economy, and it really makes or breaks credit decisions, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, these guys, these credit agencies, aren't really that interested in helping people out without a little nudging. Is that about right?
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, basically, the credit bureaus are there to make the situation worse. It used to actually just be one score from one credit bureau, your FICO score, which is what most people remember. Now it's three scores, three separate bureaus. Supposedly the three credit bureaus, they don't speak with each other. They don't care what the other one says. That's why they give you each an individual score and their own scoring model, things like that. And they actually, they're actually in multiple lawsuits now, if you research it, especially Experian. You'd be surprised how many Social Security numbers are being reported by one person on an Experian report. And it's not even due to identity theft. It's just due to human errors, inaccuracies in their reporting. Somebody typed the wrong information. They were looking at another person when they typed it in, because you can tell the numbers aren't just one number or maybe two numbers off. It's a completely different string of numbers that have no relation. And the only way you can get on there without identity theft is due to errors by the credit reporting agency.
Well, just to be clear now, where do these credit reporting agencies come from? I mean, if I were to guess, I would say it was the creditors, the banks, and the loan outfits out there, the
really
banksters who probably created it.
Definitely, without a doubt. And it really started with the railroad, the beginning of our railroad system. Right around the late 1890s especially is where it came right out of the credit bureau. They would actually only do business credit at the time. No common citizen would actually have credit. You know, it would only be the high level bankers and the elite. Eventually down the road, you know, people started getting credit, and getting into debt became a very popular idea with the elite. So they had to come up with a system to make us jump through the hoops to get it. It wasn't overnight. You know, credit was actually very easy to get, and it wasn't even really the highest interest rates. People actually had a lot of credit cards actually earlier on. And what happened was they started ringing up the credit cards, and they would just transfer the balance to another credit card. And then they would keep doing that month to month and never actually paying back any of the credit that they actually borrowed, or the digits, the electronic digits that they borrowed. The greatest scam is these credit companies never put up any of the money. Mm. So they only pay for the actual physical card to be created and mailed to you. That's what it costs them. They don't actually put up any of their money. So when you get a credit card with a, you know, $3,000 limit and you ring it up overnight, they didn't put up $3,000 of their own money as a gamble, saying, are you going to use it responsibly or are you not? They actually just, you know, whatever it costs them to create the card, and you go into debt and you give them your hard-earned money and you send it to them every month. And that's how they got rich quick.
Well, I mean, it's simply a matter of getting permission. I mean, really what it boils down to is, hey, government, we're part of your Federal Reserve System. May we have permission to be a creditor, to actually create money, because that's how money is created, is through the banks, and we're going to, sign it, and they're at a zero balance. They absolutely have given you nothing except as basically a third-party middleman between you and government. In other words, if things were actually, you know, in this system legitimate, then I could just go to government and say, I'd like to get credit, and there it would be.
And you're right. But in the system, in a legitimate system, they would actually put up the actual bet, saying, we have the money to loan you that credit. Let's put up some of our money. Let's take a trust here, and we'll go for it. They don't actually put up anything, so it's just created money out of thin air, like everything else. and that's how we keep taking our hard-earned time and labor that we get paid for. And most of the time, we don't even see the checks anymore. It goes direct deposit into people's bank accounts. That's another thing, just getting us off of that money. We never actually hold our money. We never touch it. We never see it. It only comes up on a computer screen. And as long as the computer screen matches what you think it should be in your head, everything's fine, you know. And that again, is the biggest scam, because nothing's there. It's fractional reserve credit. And, you know, it's the same system. Just run it as a credit card instead of loaning out cash.
Yeah, well, this is, again, it's really just a representation of the same system that's been in place forever for the obligators. You know, it's a system of pledging. I pledge to be in obligation, in contract to this particular value of my future time and labor. I'm going to give that to you in order to have quote-unquote credit today. I will be your debtor. That doesn't have to be represented in money. That's represented with citizenship. That's represented in any obligation that you enter. It's just that money is a little easier to understand, although it's not that easy to understand, but it's at least you can see the language, which is a bunch of digits, you know? At least you can see that.
You know, so they can add 1 + 1, most people. So, yeah. That's how it goes. And as long as the numbers always match, no one's ever going to complain. No one's ever going to say anything. You know,
well, and that's who we're talking about today. Now, today we're going to talk about people who do want to complain. Like myself, they defeated me. I didn't know enough to do anything about it. I couldn't understand what, you know, I thought everything worked right and worked fair and that these companies were out there specifically to protect your name and your credit and all that stuff. Boy, was I mistaken. And I'll tell you what, they defeated me. They defeated me so much that they went a little too far and I stopped caring altogether what my credit score was. They could stick that credit score up their ass for all I considered. Right, and I still feel that way. I don't want to have anything to do with their system, but there are a lot of people out there that do want to correct these errors. My errors were too many for me to possibly keep up with, and I pretty much just mentally broke down and said, screw it, I'm not going to jump through this hoop. But there are people that have certain mistakes and certain errors, and we just want to correct the record. Now, what you're doing for people is basically sort of what Bert was offering, and that is just help with how do you compose a letter to a credit bureau? What's the correct wording? How do you communicate with these people? And what's the key words? What's the words that they are afraid of? What is it that you can say to these guys to actually make them do something about their purposeful mismanagement of your quote unquote credit score, your account? And that's where you come in.
Yes, exactly. Most important thing is pulling the credit report. You're actually putting into writing what they're saying, and now you have something tangible to dispute with. It's no longer claims or hearsay. So now, once you see the inaccuracies, you got to actually go to each credit bureau and dispute that particular information. Most of the time, the major corporations will just sell your account to another company that buys up debt, and they'll keep doing it. It can go 5 or 6 times or more. But by that point, the paper trail's gone, and these companies don't even have a legitimate leg to stand on.
No.
So what you got to do is dispute it and say, look, can you actually prove any of the original paperwork that went with this account? Where's my signature on anything? And when you really start disputing the hard paperwork, where's the evidence? They don't want to hear it. So it's either they're going to lose the account, come off the credit report. Their only Hail Mary, so to speak, is to annoy you. They'll call you. They'll send you a million letters. They'll be mean. They'll be nice. They'll try anything. For 28 days, they'll try and collect your money because they know that they don't have a legitimate leg to stand on. But the most common mistake that people make during that time is they get annoyed, they get frustrated, and they give up, and they say, okay, I'll pay you get out of my life.
Well, and to be clear, they'll also threaten you and tell you things that are absolutely not only against the law, but they'll tell you things to scare you into paying because, oh, my God, you really? The sheriff's going to come to my door? Really? Really? Because I haven't paid your debt that you're telling me I have? You're going to send the sheriff out and he's going to arrest me? Really? I mean, that's the kind of tactics they actually use. Total lies. Total, I mean, they have absolutely no leg to stand on, like you said. It's pretty amazing with some of the things I've actually heard.
Oh, yeah. I've heard where they'll call your job and you're very surprised that they called your job, and that they're going to come down the next day and arrest you for not paying an old collection account. You know, it's totally illegal. It's criminal. If people are in those situations where they're getting a lot of those calls, what you start doing is the first thing to shut them up quick is you're going to say, I'm starting to record this conversation. Do I have your permission? Now, in New York and California, you need to say that because a phone conversation for the average citizen means nothing, but for the companies, it means everything. So if you verbally agree to anything over the phone, in person, you know, just hand to hand, a handshake, that's considered good. Now, in most states, you actually need, you know, you actually have a little more leg to stand on. But what you want to do is you're going to tell them that you're now recording them. Do you have their permission to do so? And they'll usually start to hang up the phone very quickly. The next thing you want to ask is, most people will ask for a person's name. You want to ask for their employee ID number. They all have one. Whether you can get it or they'll give you the real one is a different story. But you want to start asking questions that they haven't heard before. Because once they realize that they're dealing with somebody that they've never dealt with, they either get very scared, they get angry, or they just simply mark down that you're unwilling to pay them. You know, and the best advice I would always say is don't talk to them at all. Ignore them. There's other ways to handle it.
I specifically remember being literally threatened by these people and, you know, specifically asking them, well, do you have proof of this? And it's always the duck and cover. It's always, if they say it convincingly enough and they sound professional enough, which they're not, then people believe it. And it's pretty pathetic, actually. I mean, I would love for one to call me today. I would mess with them in a big way. I would actually enjoy it knowing that they have, you know, it's purely... I wouldn't even give them the benefit of calling them a third party. They're like a fourth or fifth party at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really it. When you start calling them out for what they are, they get nervous. Sometimes they'll even call and say that they're the original company because they have an agreement behind the scenes that they can go and do that. So that's another thing to always watch out for. You have to really ask, who am I speaking with and what's the reference for what you're calling from? You know, don't ever say it's you. Just say, what are you calling for? And if it doesn't sound right, you say, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number.
Yep. Don't confess to being that person.
that's considered an update. That'll actually update if they want to be nasty enough. They'll update on your credit report that they had a conversation with you. So it actually resets the date. That 7 years that everyone always hears about, 7 years it's going to come off my credit report. Well, that's from the date of last activity. So if you pay them, you talk to them, you say it's you and you hang up the phone, they can consider that an update. And your 7-year window resets to that month, that year.
That's nice. Would that also be considered, let's say they call your parents or your work, would that also be activity?
Yeah, well, they have to get a question out of them that they confirm or deny. And, you know, are you the parent of? Yes. Oh, okay. You know, and that's really all they need. They just need to confirm the information that they don't know or they do know. And that's really what most of the time that they're calling to do, because all they really have is an electronic file, you know, that says XYZ. You know, and in reality, that's nothing real. That's fake. That's illusion. I can create an electronic file and say it's real, but, you know, it doesn't make it true.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, anybody can just, the concept of this contractual obligation thing, it's very easy to get yourself trapped into that. I can walk up to the street and have you sign something and it becomes a contract. I could say it's something and not tell you that you're signing.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, it's amazing how easy it is.
You'd be surprised, these companies, after we dispute something off the credit, they'll actually send the client one more letter saying, look, you should feel bad that you didn't pay us. And if you ever decide to pay us, we will then throw this account back on your credit. But we cannot do so until you decide to pay us. You know, so they'll actually attempt and send a letter, you know, along the lines of that. And, you know, we always have to warn people, say, look, watch what comes in from these companies. You know, make sure you don't just sign something, send it back. Always really read what comes in. And that comes down to personal responsibility. Another big factor of why we're in the mess we're in today.
Let's talk about just the general types of letters. Obviously, as you say, the whole point is to just get a response, right? And, hey, let's send them a letter. If we get a response, we can reset the 7-year period. All right, well, that's a small part of it. But really what they're trying to do is just, I mean, essentially is to just keep the account going, keep the collection process going. What I've noticed is that they, you know, every creditor will do the same thing. They'll just keep adding fee after fee after fee. Exactly. Oh, yep. You didn't pay this month. It's a $1,000 charge for every year you're not paying this and this. And eventually, you know, they buy a loan, for instance, or a credit, charge. For $1,500, by the time they're done adding their fees and their non-payment fees and late fees, they've got a $20,000 account that then they write off as a $20,000 account instead of a $1,500 account.
Yes. And that's exactly it. That's exactly how they stay in, especially these original companies. They write it off, then they sell it, they make money on it, and then you're still stuck supposedly trying to pay back this original debt that's already probably been paid off 3 times over already.
Yeah. Hypothecation, right? It's if you think about that, really, folks, think about the purpose. You know, everybody wonders, well, how can these people possibly be making money? That is really what it boils down to, is that they're turning something that they're very, you know, fairly sure they're not going to get a return on their investment, and they don't give a crap. To be perfectly frank, they do not give a crap because they're going to write it off for, you know, 10 to 20% or 100 to 200% more than what they actually got it for. And that's big business. It's the creation of a credit that never should have existed in the first place, and it's perfectly allowed by government.
Oh, they love it. It's their biggest business that they don't want to talk about, and that's why they don't go after identity theft. That's why the NSA does nothing, to go after any of these people. They could if they felt like it, but, you know, that's cutting into their business.
Well, dude, I hand-delivered my neighbor. I found out it was my neighbor, the guy in the house doing it. They did not care. They would not do a thing.
No,
they would
not
do anything about it. I couldn't get my crap fixed. They wouldn't help me in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, heck yeah. I said, well, screw this whole system. Well, let's talk about some of the services you actually do for me. Now, obviously, you know, if someone gets a letter in the mail, we preach this all the time on this show, especially, you do not necessarily ignore letters. Now, I don't know if that applies to these kind of quote-unquote offers that are being sent in the mail. I mean, if they send you an offer, obviously, and it says you have 28 days to respond or else this, you know, you might want to respond. But what's your general advice?
Well, of course, never ignore a problem. Actually, you gotta first thing is opening up the mail. That's what most people don't do. But once you're at that level where you're opening up and you're ready to face what's coming in, most of the time it is a threat, and it's just a threat to get you to respond. And now, what I always tell people is, how much are they claiming you owe? If the original debt was probably you know, if it was over $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 or more, they're probably going to want to look to try and collect that. So you know that they might not be bluffing here. They might actually try to come after you or take you to court, maybe garnish your salary, freeze your bank account. Maybe they'll be serious. But when debts are really small, it's not even worth the lawyer fee to take you down, then they're just going to be throwing you letter after letter after letter. So you want to see what it is. If it's a settlement letter, you know, if why are they willing to settle for less than 50%? You know, that always tells me that something's wrong. Why, you know, they can't really prove any of the debt that they're claiming you owe. So in that case, let's go right to the credit bureau. And that's what I would do there. In most cases, I would always try to avoid court if at all possible. I never want to send anybody into there unless I have to. But if you can dispute directly with the credit bureaus, it's sort of like going to a third-party judge in this situation, and you got to go to three of them. And essentially what they are is they're computer servers, and they're backed by people that just double-check and input data. But once they find that the credit bureau goes to the company, and they actually, the credit bureaus hit the company with a little bit of a charge. It could be like something small, 10, 12 bucks. But every time a dispute is sent down, the credit bureau's got to get paid for doing a job. So they hit the company with the charge, and actually the company's profit margin shrinks every time a dispute's sent out. So essentially, if you don't owe a lot of money and it's a $60 medical collection, then really what you want to do is dispute it and see what, how did they come up with this? Do they have any of the original paperwork from the company? You know, and when you go to the credit bureau and request that they, you know, provide that information to them, they only have a certain period of time to get it to them. So at that point, they got 20-something days to get to another state, to get the information faxed over. It's got to be legitimate, and it's got to pass, you know, certain requirements that each credit bureau has in their own investigation. You know, so, and, you know, piece by piece, you actually start blowing away all that derogatory information. Because they don't have a legitimate leg to stand on under the system that they created themselves.
It's just so, it's so convoluted and so, it's such a pointless system.
it's a lot of running around for nothing.
It doesn't operate in any way, shape, or form as it's, you know, as it's actually supposedly designed to operate. It's strictly, really, just to lower your credit score so that you have to pay more interest. You don't. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. But and to be clear, you know, again, website here is SouthshoreCredit.com. That's SouthshoreCredit.com. You know, you say right on your front page, we do not settle or consolidate your debt with creditors. You're not here to manage people's money. You're here to say, look, you need to take your own responsibility. Start, you know, here's how to write a letter. Here's how to actually deal with these people to make them do what they're supposed to be doing, or what they at least claim they're doing. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stay tuned, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia, April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2015, with a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers and researchers from across the country who'll shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. To get your tickets and to donate, go to www.freeyourmindconference.com. Free Your Mind. It's your world. It's your future. Empower yourself.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back. You're in the Corporation Nation. Hey, got Bob Tuscan on the line. I think Bob wanted to say hi to you, Michael, and probably say yet again thank you for coming out and talking to people. I know I had a couple people already tell me that they hung out with you at the conference and thought you were really cool. So, hey, yeah, yeah. Kudos to that. What's up, Bob?
They thought I was cool or Mike was cool?
Nobody thinks you're cool.
That's what I was about to say, man. Jeez. For a second there, I thought the Yiddish dude was cool, but I guess not.
Good try, man.
Hey, man, Clint, did you have a good time, dude? Did you have fun?
I had a wonderful time. I talked to so many people, got to speak to people face-to-face, got to meet some of my listeners face-to-face, so it was wonderful for me, and we got to go take a satanic Masonic tour of Philadelphia, which was absolutely astounding. We talked about that.
I heard a bit of your show last night. It certainly is definitely far from the gates of heaven, closer to the gates of hell. if you watch Ross Ben's talk,
yeah,
I think he really did an awesome job showing some of the information, the occulted information behind some of the ley lines and the real intentions, perhaps, of these guys called the founders, you know, specifically Benjamin Franklin. So that was pretty cool.
Absolutely, man.
This guy Mike you have here, I think I've heard his stuff before. I think I might have even had him on my show, and I think I might have even had him get some blemishes off my credit. And it turns out, I thought he was a scam artist. He actually did what he said he was going to do, and it got the stupid AT&T bill that I didn't even know existed that hit my credit. It got it off of the dang thing. Now, part of me doesn't care about credit, but the other part of me doesn't like these crooks, these usurpers following me around so that I have to pay more debt in their debt-based system from the get-go. So I can vouch for Mike, guys. I really can. He did what he said he was going to do. And I'm not just saying that because he's now a good friend and, you know, supporter of the Free Your Mind Conference, but I have the paperwork to prove it.
And that's saying a lot, man. It really is. And, you know, like I said, after talking to him and late night one night, he convinced me that he was doing a good thing. And we'll talk about his, you know, how he got into this as well.
Sure. All right, well, I will let you guys go. I just wanted to call up and say hello. I'm still recovering from the conference, as I'm sure you guys are as well. It's, you know, it takes a lot out of you, but it's all worth it. And I look forward to 2016 hanging out with you two guys again and everybody else.
Cool beans, man. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Thanks again for the invite.
Thanks, dude. Bye.
All right, man. Hey, yeah. So, Michael, well, there you go. Kudos from one of your actual customers, which is great.
Bob's great. I really like to thank him for helping me out and inviting me to the Free Your Mind Conference. That was really an amazing experience.
Very nice.
People I met down there.
Yeah, there were some very good people there, absolutely. Let's talk about some of the things. Like I said, we sort of alluded to the notion of, well, these letters, these threatening letters. Obviously, we're going to get threatened phone calls, which really, you know, there's a certain way to handle those. But when you get a letter in the mail, you really need to not ignore them. You really need to open them, check out what they say, see if they're making any specific offers or, more to the point, any demands. And if those demands actually have any kind of term, very important to note that, you know, you have 28 days to respond, and if you don't, this will be the contract, the renewed unilateral contract between the third party and you. It's a very tricky maneuver, and of course government and corporations use it all the time, and of course we teach people to use it right back.
That's right. You know, and the biggest thing is at the beginning of the year, you'll find that most people get served the most. It's like a common thing. It's because it's the beginning of the year, it's a new year, they want to start really trying to bring in their debt. And on the other hand, is at the end of the year, the system gets so bogged down, that's actually the best time to dispute your credit, especially your public records or any judgments that might be on your credit report. Because the system is so bogged down, you can't actually, if they even had the paperwork, they couldn't prove it. And that's what we find, that, you know, there are certain times of the year that actually you get better results than others. You know, just because due to the system so corrupt and so misplaced and so mismanaged that they can't actually, you know, respond to anything minor like that. They can only go for the big fish. But very importantly is the terms that do come in the letters. That's actually the most important thing you got to look for and see what they're actually trying to come across and tell you. You'll find that most of it, depending on the debt amount, it's mostly a threat. Now, if they do serve you, we have ways to help you out and actually serve them and actually have them provide the paperwork and stuff. But we always want to try and settle this through the credit bureaus before it gets to that level.
Well, certainly. And you're dealing, I mean, the like you said, the problem is you're dealing with three separate companies that all claim to be the authority on your particular reputation, right?
Uh-huh. And the problem is it's almost even to the person you're going to for such credit or such account or such contract. They actually will prefer one credit bureau over another because of their scoring system or their repeated use or the price that they use to actually offer their scores and things like that. So the problem is now you have three separate people and you never know who's going to use what. Some people use all three. Some people just use one. So you really want to make sure that, you know, to the best of your ability, that all three credit bureaus are reporting accurate information on you. And that's really what it comes down to. See, I don't care what the credit score is either. In my service, I don't care what your credit score is before you come to me or after you leave. It's really about the history that's reflecting in that report. That's all I care about. If the negative history is off, you can then go out and do what you want to do without having that bad history hold you back from whatever you want to do.
Well, and how often, I mean, just first statistically, I'm sorry, having trouble with words, what would you say the error rate is as far as, you know, how many people actually have at least one and probably multiple errors?
Well, if you're gonna include personal information, then I would say almost the entire United States. You know, you're looking at almost 100%. If you're including personal information, that's where lawsuits are happening. Just because it's so, you know, if you're a big corporation, it should be very easy for you to find out what the spelling of my name is. For example, my name is Rivera with a B. In there, and I get a lot of mail with the V instead. And I get a lot of Spanish mail because people think it's Rivera, and they're going to send me the Spanish mail instead. It's a common error, but it's also just takes a little bit of effort to get the right information, and they don't want to be bothered with that. And you know, after a while, if you're going to continue to report inaccurate information after I dispute it, then, you know, with enough people, they'll have lawsuits on their hands, like Experian does today. It's been going on for about 4 years now, but, you know, they'll continue to fight it because they have the money and the power to back them.
Well, you'd think, again, if you try to think logically in this system, you're always going to fail.
you have to have a little bit of
imagination, a little bit of ability to understand what organized crime truly is. You'd think that with a record like that, of basically having it incorrect information on every single quote-unquote unwitting customer, you'd think that these things would have been just, you know, had their, you know, been gutted and reformatted, and just because of the fact that they have so much sway on people's ability to obtain credit and stuff. But no, not at all. In fact, it's actually, I suppose that certain companies use different reporting agencies because they have certain mistakes that are beneficial to the business.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. And that's exactly it. And you'll find that a lot with TransUnion. That's a big one. You know, as they're known as, like, you know, they sort of don't spend any money on anything. And, you know, same thing with Equifax. They're horrible at reporting accurate information. They're actually the easiest to dispute. So normally people will shy away from that credit bureau because they don't want their debt to come off. So they'll stick with TransUnion. And
so, I mean, what you're saying is patently ridiculous.
Well, it's
ridiculous.
It's borderline fraud, and you know, it's horrible. What you're saying is you're going to Vegas and it's stacked against you, but you have no choice. And it's going to dictate how you live. So if you're a bad gambler in Vegas, that's going to affect how much money you make back in New York. You know, and that's essentially what it's saying. And, you know, since you're so bad at playing pinochle, you're going to have to live in a lesser income apartment. You know, because your credit score dictates, even though you make money, your credit score says that you can only live here. You know. And that's really where it's getting worse and worse, especially in these big overrun cities like New York.
So, you know, it says here on your website, basically, it says 29% of consumers have variances of 20 to 30 points or more in their credit scores, by, you know, compared to each, you know, in other words, each bureau might be off by 20 to 30 points.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That far off, and you'd be surprised how many reports I've pulled over my time and how few reports were actually very close together. You know, you might see one or two credit bureaus give close to another score, but then you'll see another one 50, 60 points below or ahead of the other one. And there's really, in your saying, it's all the same credit. Nothing changed, you know. But unfortunately, each credit bureau sees it differently. And there's really no rhyme or reason behind their scoring model. And I've tried to, over the years, try to figure it out. Like, if a Chase collection account gets removed from all three credit bureaus, you look at the score beforehand and you see the score afterhand. And you can figure out the point difference. But there's no rhyme or reason. One credit bureau gave it 12 points. The other one gave it 27 points. The other one gave it 58 points. And it's, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. It just seems that, you know, it's just...
Yeah, but you know what? To me and you, we know there's a rhyme and reason. We know that it's purely designed for a corruption of your reputation. We know that.
Yeah.
We know doing it for a reason. I mean, you have listed on here... that you dispute late dates, collection accounts, charge-off, bankruptcies, judgments, repossessions, student loans, inquiries, and on and on and on. But again, these aren't actually you're not talking about settling or consolidating debt. You're simply saying, hey, you have a late date on here, or you have a charge-off on here that's incorrect, or that's past time, or that was done without, you know, you're actually correcting the record of the event, not trying to actually settle.
No. I mean, anybody out there listening, you can pay your own bills and you can settle your own debts if that's the way you want to go. You don't need to pay another person to do that for you. You're just spending more money. But really, what I'm doing is I'm disputing it to get rid of it. And you'd be surprised how many student loans out there that are in collection wrongly, because you're actually, you know, you're not supposed to be charged your student loan while you're in school. There's a certain period of grace time after you graduate that you have. I think it's about 8 months. And then they'll start actually charging you. But if you actually look at your credit report, you'll actually see that they've been charging you all along. And every semester you went from summer to winter, they were charging you. And you never knew because, you weren't on top of your credit. You didn't notice what was going on. But now you have all these interest and late fees and dates reported on your credit report when it really shouldn't even be there to begin with. And that's what we go in and dispute. We're saying, hey, look, under the law, this person was still in school. How could this person be late if they were still in school? Please update your information. Please remove these late dates. You know, please honor the laws that are already set up. See, until you actually catch them, they're going to try and take your money. And same thing with the bank. If you don't watch your statements, they're taking your money.
What is the actual, I don't know how to say this. Of course, they threaten people all the time. But what is the actual laws and is there anything that you throw at these guys? You have listed here, for instance, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and the Fair and Accurate Credit Transaction Act, which to me are, you know, I mean, that's just...
You know what it is? I'll tell you what, it's a bunch of nothing. And it really, what all that's saying is, you have... Basically, they have the right to report whatever they want until you dispute it, until you actually catch on to it. So the corruption will continue until you put your foot down and really try to change it.
And I want to be clear. Go ahead, sorry.
And when you actually try to put your foot down and change it, good luck. You're going to have to jump through a lot of fiery hoops to get there.
Well, see, and this is what we've been talking about. This doesn't just apply to what we're talking about today. Okay, the record is incorrect about everything in your life, from your birth certificate to everything else. You need to correct everything. People want to just sit back and hope that it gets better, but this is so important, this concept that you're talking about right now. Everything is incorrect. The system runs on the fact that everything about your quote-unquote person, your reputation, your credit score, all of these things are purposefully incorrect. It is fraud. It is absolute purposeful and planned, managed fraud. And until you do something about it, the fraud continues. There is no fraud while you're acting in fraud. There is no crime when you're acting as the criminal.
You're an active participant in the fraud, and you condone it.
And I can't tell you how many times I've tried to really get that passed from reading the maxims of law that show it absolutely to reading the law itself. It says, you know, from the confirmation process, which allows the crime to continue just because we confirm it. It's so important, this notion, and that's why I have you on today to, you know, to really explain to people, hey, this is just a small part of a much bigger equation. You must correct the record or you are living according to the record and what they say you are. But the question becomes then, what is it that, what, just out of curiosity, I'm just curious, do you have any tools at your disposal, knowledge of laws and that sort of thing, that actually you use as a quote-unquote, I'll use the word threat, but that's probably the wrong word, something that actually makes them go, oh, crap, here's someone that knows what they're talking about, we better correct the record. I'll let you answer that when we get back to the break, my friend. Stay tuned, folks. We control every aspect of your life through ideological hegemony. But if you think you need guns to stop tyranny, then what you waiting for? We've already stripped you of your liberty, privacy, civil rights, and dignity. You want some more?
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Come to Finca Bayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Michael Ribeiro, that's with a B, out of New York today. His little company he's got is called South Shore Credit Management Incorporated. Now, when we get back, we're just going to have a quick little segment here. I want to want you to tell people how you got into this business. Maybe we'll take some calls for people who have questions about this stuff, because I know everybody's a victim. See, that's the thing. We're speaking to the choir here. I mean, we're everybody's a victim of this. It's because it's designed to be a victim a creator. I mean, it's literally everybody is a victim of this. Now, I want to sort of hit home what I was saying before, or asking before, the concept that creditors and especially credit bureaus they have to have proof of their claims. Nobody can defame your name or your reputation unless they have proof of that defamation. Otherwise, it would be defamation. So there's got to be something that makes them verify or validate their claims. Is there not?
Oh yeah, of course. You know, and a lot of the time, you know, they can actually prove some of that paperwork. If you're dealing with the original company, where you got a mortgage and you signed last week, you know, and we try to dispute that, they're going to be able to verify that the ink's still wet on that paper. But once you find that it actually gets sold to somebody, it's a totally different ball game.
Well, so
that's really
when something is sold. In other words, when it's sold, and a lot of companies have their own third party credit companies that they sell their own loans to, but once something is actually sold, is it considered to be paid off?
It is considered to be, the original creditor will have report, should report a zero balance on that account. See, what they do is they don't actually get rid of that account. They'll just report it as a zero balance, and the new company will appear with the balance added on with their interest fees and all that stuff. And that's really where the illegitimacy comes in of this, because they've actually already gotten paid, and they got paid by the American people. They wrote it off on their taxes, and then they got it back from Uncle Sam at, you know, beginning of the year. So now what happens is all these companies are just saying, look, if you don't really know anything about law or how to dispute anything, or if you're just going to willingly pay me, I'm going to willingly accept your money. And that's what all these vampire companies are. You know, and that's really, really what it comes down to is, if you're willing to pay them, they're willing to take your money. It's just companies set up, you know, pretty much out there to defame you until you step in and pay them or dispute with them.
And most people don't know enough, as you say, to dispute the claims that are being made. And again, to be clear, what we're talking about is a company that you signed a little contract with. They again write it off. They're claiming to be paid. The account is fully paid, and they're sending sort of this shell, this ghost of the account, and they're setting it up. They're basically selling it for a low price, the full amount, but for a lower price. And suddenly you have a third party that you have absolutely no agency or agreement with, no contract whatsoever with, claiming that you owe them money, and this is a lie. To be clear, that is what we're talking about. All right. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses,